Ever since his 2000 literary debut, Alexander Hemon has been hailed as a maestro, a conjurer, a channeler of universes. In books including The Question of Bruno and Love and Obstacles, he's written about archdukes and exiles, a Sarajevo of memories, and a Chicago that's in your face to this very moment. He's now written his first nonfiction book, a memoir of growing up in Sarajevo, his flight and acclimation to Chicago, and his touching, staunch, and sometimes painful life with a family that stretched between a home city decimated by war and the hometown he's adopted for his imagination and future. His new book is The Book of My Lives, and Alexander Hemon, who is also the recipient of a MacArthur Genius Grant, joins us from London. Thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
I'm not only humbled to speak with you because you're an acclaimed novelist, but as you reveal in this book, you're an accomplished radio host. Could you recollect your Sarajevo radio career for us?
Well, I had a number of shows. I had music shows. Mm-hmm. But I played a lot of punk and bands like MC5, the revolutionary Detroit band from the 60s. And I also wrote film reviews and book reviews. And I can't even call it a show. It was a very, very small segment, about 3 minutes, of something called Sasha Hemon Tells You True and Untrue Stories.
Stories like?
One of those stories featured a cousin who lost all his limbs and ended up his career at a circus being rolled around by elephants. Oh. I was young and, was prone to such things.
You, as we note, you were able to leave Sarajevo as the war was beginning, but you were there long enough to begin to see the city you loved shudder. And I wonder if the experience of watching your hometown suffer from a distance spurred you in any way towards beginning to write fiction.
I had written fiction before, but the fiction was in the vein of the story that I just mentioned, somewhat nihilistic and absurd and sorely devoid of, how would I put it, a real human experience. And with the war, there was a different kind of responsibility towards the reality of human experience. In other words, fiction could no longer be entirely fictional. And for that reason, I suppose I developed a different part of my sensibility. Or in other words, I started paying attention to people and their feelings and their experiences. And to process that traumatic transformation, I felt that I had to write. And not just to record, but rather to imagine ways of existing on, or comprehending beyond the limits of my available self.
I sense reading this book you can get a little uncomfortable with the way Americans handle labels.
It's not just Americans. I am one of those people, when I go to see a doctor and they ask me basic information about my health, I extend every answer to a simple question into some sort of a story. So when they ask me, how much red meat do you eat a week, and then I start telling them a story about different kinds of red meat that I might eat and what it means to me, and then 5 minutes later I look up and the doctor looks at me as though I'm possessed, because I, for some reason, I cannot, as you can hear now, I cannot give a simple answer to very simple questions. And my instinct is contrary to the American instinct of simplification. I move in the direction of complication. That is not good for book sales, let me tell you, but it's good for storytelling.
Sasha, the hardest part of this memoir is reading the illness that ultimately took the life of your daughter, Isabel. You have an older daughter, Ella, and Ella, through this period, acquired a friend named Mingus. Is that who's on the cover of this book?
It's the first emanation of Mingus. When she came up with Mingus, he would occasionally or frequently assume the shape of an inflatable alien doll. And so it's a blue alien called Mingus.
What did Mingus do for your daughter?
She came up with Mingus because Mingus allowed her to tell stories to herself and us, incomplete, unfinished, rambling stories that allowed her to process the difficult experience of her sister's illness and then death. I understood, watching her and listening to her, that it was by coming up with these stories featuring Mingus that she was trying to understand what was happening. So, for instance, Mingus would have a tumor. My little daughter, Isabel, she had a brain tumor, a very malignant one. And so we talked about these things, and she would bear witness, Ella mm-hmm. would. And so then she would come up with Mingus having a tumor, and then he would go to the hospital, and then he would be better in 2 weeks. And so there was a number of issues that came up in our family that she would assign to Mingus to process narratively. It was the most fascinating process, and one of the reasons I wrote this piece, which, as you can imagine, was very difficult to write, mm-hmm. was to bear witness to Ella's narrative accomplishments and to put forth the recognition that this is what we do, what I do as a writer, that fiction or stories are really a way to process our experiences, to organize them in some form, even if, you know, incompletely and in a complicated way, to try to understand what it is that is happening to us and people around us. So what she was doing was in fundamentally the same thing as I was doing, coming up with imaginary lives, imaginary characters, and giving them stories to live through. And Mingus is still alive and well. He still is featured in my daughter's stories. Last year, I asked my daughter, how come we've never seen Mingus? You know, I would like to meet Mingus. And she said, Tata, she calls me Tata. Tata, Mingus is imaginary, which was no contradiction to her. He was imaginary and real at the same time.
Alexander Heyman from London, his new book, The Book of My Lives. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
You're listening to Weekend Edition from NPR News.